Flashback Twin Cities on Club 1220 KLBB. Tom Osmond here the next hour. With me, a production crew today. We have Tom Hsu and we have Kyle. We have the we have a whole crew today.
It's a very big show, you know.
This is a big show. We have we have a guest today. We have Barbara Carlson. She did radio for a long time over at 1500. I can't remember the call letters. Oh, that's right. KSTP, a different station.
It's not a little place that I don't think is going anywhere.
Well, it's the last 90 feet of St. Paul Brown University Avenue, the Boulevard of Broken Dreams. And we have a couple events I want to kind of talk about here. Actually, these are past events. And one being a very special birthday for all of us, especially people of our generation. September 21st, 1983, Motorola made history when the FCC approved the Dynatac 8000X. Do you know what that is?
No, but that is a phenomenal name, and I'm in full support.
I want to know what marketing group was in a meeting, and they said Dynatac 8000X. This is the direction we're going to go.
This is a killer robot that was created, right?
Well, you'd think so, because that would actually be the world's first commercial portable cell phone.
Ah.
And looking at the photo here on the Motorola website, it looks like a killer robot. It looks like about as big as, you know, a Star Wars droid or that robot that Rocky Balboa had in Rocky IV.
The one that he would prefer to forget about.
Yeah, that one is right. But this phone looks like it's about 90 pounds, and I think that it had about 7 minutes of power whenever you put it on, when you went into your Impala.
Is this the one that had the backpack?
Oh, yes.
Or the carrying case for the battery charger?
It looks a little illegal, actually, because you're walking around with this briefcase all the time and all these wires and all of these devices to be able to talk to someone for 5 minutes.
I bet you'd get pulled over or just stopped by a police officer if you were doing that around downtown.
Yeah, I always kind of wondered who needed a car phone back in the 80s, but I guess some executives needed them. And it turns 30 today, the great-grandfather of all the devices we carry with us, and I'm as guilty as anyone else of having it on me all the time.
Well, I'm curious now because obviously, for a while, those phones were getting much, 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 much smaller and getting as tiny and compact as possible. And now they just keep getting bigger and bigger.
Well, it's tough to watch HDTV on a small screen, though, Tom. You have to watch the 1080p movies in your car when you're driving on a big screen.
Well, I like to, have a sense of danger instilled in those around me.
Yeah, I know. You kind of drive on the freeway and you see all these glowing lights in the car, and it's not, obviously it's 1220 on the radio.
Oh, but we'd help you drive.
That's right.
We're here for you.
That's right. Other event, 28 years ago yesterday, Dave Moore of WCCO-TV delivered his last 10 p.m. newscast. This is significant. This is from Dave's obituary in 1998. He unfortunately passed away January 28th, 1998. WCCO-TV began airing major daily newscasts in 1957. The job of presenting the 10 p.m. news was originally offered to Walter Cronkite. Do either of you know who that is?
Walter Cronkite, of course.
Thank you. Okay, all right. When he withdrew, it went to Moore.
What kind of man do you think I am, Tom?
Well, you know.
I'm hurt.
Well, you know. When he withdrew, it went to Moore, who held the job until 1985, until September 20th, 1985. With no disrespect to Cronkite, it's hard not to feel that we got the better of the deal. Moore lived his life here. He understood the state in a way that news readers could only regard with envious awe. This is by Colin Culvert. His work defined the community in ways large and small. So we have a clip from the final 10 p.m. news. He'd done that job for 28 years. 28 years.
Tales of tonight's AIDS announcement that some Minnesota children now carry the deadly virus.
A Mercy flight is ready to leave St. Paul for Mexico City.
And a computer is helping medicine make big strides in helping the paralyzed walk again.
We'll have those stories and more coming up on tonight's 10 p.m. report.
Serving and informing the Twin Cities for four decades. This is WCCO Television, Minneapolis, St. Paul. And now, Dave Moore, Pat Miles, Mike Fairborn, and Mark Rosen bring you Channel 4's 10 p.m. report.
Look, each time I try to make this point, I am charged with false modesty, but this is a point I should have made last Tuesday night, but I was in such a state of emotional upheave, I did not have the wherewithal to put it all together. But the point is this. One does not survive 28 years at this news desk on one's talents alone. He or she has to have help from two sources. You have to have a supportive employer, and you have to have a loyal audience. My longevity, I'm here to tell you, is the result of having been blessed with both. I have survived all these years in this high transiency business because my employers have refused to measure my worth by the fallacious standards of the so-called audience rating system. In my view, one of social history's classic shams. A hoax of such insidious dimension as to produce this circumstance in our community. A newscaster who has proved her skill and credibility beyond all doubt is suddenly instructed to alter her personality to accommodate the style of her co-worker and the whims of her audience with which her employer pretends familiarity. I don't think we should disparage that this very qualified newscaster's compliance with the order, but rather be outraged that her employer had the temerity and the gracelessness to even suggest it. It is a loathsome work condition that underscores my own good fortune. Under two managements, over these 28, 35 years, at no time has any executive here so much as hinted that my job might be at stake because of failing ratings. At no time have I been warned to lay off of this or take it easy on that. What employer, what manager of what television station do you know would allow his newscaster to get away with all that silly stuff you saw an hour ago? Employers such as mine are what keep audiences such as you. And I thank God, I tell you, for the both of you. Now, the other point is, we're running over, folks. Do not worry about the state of this news program. Columbia, DuPont, and Peabody people have already recognized Don Shelby as an exceptionally gifted journalist. And this one has had your solid approval for 3 years. And for the last 3 months, she has been carrying more than her share of the load, I might add. As soon as she drops that bomb, she's going to be in good shape.
Dave, it has been an honor and a privilege to sit next to you. And any success that I may have, it goes to you, and I thank you.
I thank you for your patience.
And I'm going to miss you.
If you want any help with the big words, I'll be around.
All right. That's going to do it for tonight's 10.
I need some help with the big words. I wrote down a few words in that last statement that I don't know if I knew the definition to.
You know, very rarely in newscasting do I hear insidiousness.
It sounds... a couple things. That was 28 years ago yesterday, and Dave did the news at 6 o'clock until 1991, and he did more on Sunday and some specials until his passing in 1998. Again, I know we've talked about this before. We've had Pat Miles on the show. We've actually had Paul Steig, who was the announcer there. Stations today are not going to allow someone to go on the air on their last day and just have free forum.
Even if you've been there for several decades, there's too much of a gamble to do something like that.
You remember the movie Network when Howard Beale had his moment and he had it. And I think that station managers fear those moments are going to happen or they're going to insinuate riots, even though right now this audience is so fragmented. It might be five people that might riot, but it's amazing that you look at a respected individual like Dave Moore and listening to that makes you know why he was respected and why he was part of our homes for that many years.
It's true that you can be a journalist and have an opinion of your own, be very straightforward with facts and how you feel, but still be able to present the facts as they are. And I'm impressed at him.
It's an amazing concept, isn't it?
It is truly bizarre.
Well, we had Ron Hanberg on a few weeks ago, and Ron worked with Dave for a long time. And I think Ron, we discussed this with Ron. Ron did editorials. And Ron's philosophy was a very ethical, fact-driven news organization, but he also did editorials. He separated his opinion, or his station's opinion, from the news product.
He would let them know, this is my opinion.
It's a line that's blurred, I think, with the several cable channels, with the the mix of information, with tweeting. And by the way, speaking of Twitter, you can follow TC Media now on Twitter.
Hey, very nice.
A little plug there. And if you like that clip, the full video and audio is at tcmedianow.com. Time for a break?
We can definitely do that.
Let's take a break. We'll be back with Barbara Carlson after this break on Flashback Twin Cities on KLBB Club 1220. Flashback Twin Cities on KLBB Club 1220 is our guest on the line. Good afternoon, Ms. Carlson.
Don't call me Mrs. Carlson. No one ever calls me Mrs. Carlson. You can call me Barbara, you can call me Babs, you can call me anything but Mrs. Carlson.
We'll start with Barbara for now. We'll go to Babs maybe after the next break.
Okay.
Barbara Carlson, welcome to Flashback Twin Cities. I have a question I have to ask you, first of all. I think there are 35 mayoral candidates for the city of Minneapolis. Are you one of them this year? this could be the year.
Ridiculous, isn't it? I mean, I think that this ranked voting is nuts. I think the whole thing is insane, and I know a lot of the candidates that are running. And if I lived in Minneapolis, I would be supporting Mark Andrew. And I'm teaching all of my friends who live in Minneapolis how to bullet ballot.
Now, this,
that means you don't rank 1, 2, and 3, you rank only 1.
Yeah, this is an interesting, in case you do not understand what Barbara's talking about, this is a new voting system. I think it's in just Minneapolis. I don't think St. Paul has adopted this yet.
No, it's just Minneapolis.
But you rank your choices 1, 2, 3. The idea is to not get a candidate that wins with 37% of the vote, a la Jesse Ventura. And the idea is to go to your first choice and your second choice. But I think it's very confusing to the voter electorate out there.
Well, it is confusing because they don't know, and of course, when you go and try and listen to the debate, you know, there are an extraordinary number of people up there, and you just, it's ridiculous. I don't like it, and I think it's stupid, and I hope they don't do it again.
Well, let's talk about mayoral debates, because in 1993... you hosted a mayoral debate, which was unlike any mayoral debate that had been on TV. This was with the Minneapolis and St. Paul mayoral candidates. There's about 15, I think, running each time, eventually with some of your former colleagues, Sharon Sells Belton and others that came up as victorious. But you moderated a debate that was a little bit, we call it uncomfortable, maybe a little bit different.
I don't know what you're talking about. Are you talking about the questions that I asked the candidate?
The forum, the questions?
Are you talking about when I asked one of the candidates in the St. Paul race whether he'd ever smoked pot or not?
That might be one of them. It was, at the time, it was a little bit different for the...
It's different. I've always been kind of different. You know, I have never followed the line of tradition. So I did ask a candidate whether he'd ever smoked pot, and he was very honest and said yes. And some people think it cost him the election.
Yeah, it was an interesting debate. And I recall that when you did the Minneapolis one, you asked some questions and people weren't answering the questions, and you had to continue to prod them to answer the questions. And I think they were questions like, did you ever get a speeding ticket? I think they were pretty innocent questions. And then it went from there.
Well, it's, you know, a lot of people do not like to be honest. I mean, I could tell you stories about the candidates that are running, horrifying stories about some of the mayoral candidates, because some of them I know and some of them I go way back with, and I've watched them in operation. I've seen what they have done. So there are several that are running for mayor. I'm not going to say the nasty, rotten things that I know about them, but I'm just telling you, vote for Mark Andrew.
That's Barbara Carlson's endorsement.
Yes.
Now, do we have any tab-colored signs left? I still think you can, you know, jump in last minute here, and you might be able to get, you know, 10%, and you might actually be able to win with that.
Well, actually, it is so ridiculous that I thought maybe I should move back to Minneapolis and run. At least I would have the name identification and the credibility to run, since I did run once before. But I'm no longer interested in knocking myself out and going door to door and going. The job of mayor and the job of city council members is really a 7:30 to 10:30 job, if they're doing it right. RT is shots at every disaster, at every groundbreaking, and is involved in every issue. This morning, he is taking on light rail transit again. You know, you just have to have your fingers in all the pies that are going on, and I'm not interested in doing that anymore. I like your job. I had a good time on the radio.
Well, let's talk about that a minute. Our guest today, Barbara Carlson, a former city councilwoman, a former mayoral candidate, a former talk show host at KSTP. Tell us a little bit about where the transition. You were in the city council for 8 years. And
no, I was there for 10 years, and then I went on the radio, and I was on the radio for 12 years, and then I retired.
What was the transition from city council to radio? Did you go to them? Did they come to you and say, "Hey, we kind of like what your style. We want to bring you on board."
I went to them, and then they hired me. And at the end, I think I was radio change was changing into a much more sports driven type of station,
right.
And I became much more liberal as the show went on, and I took some really difficult positions with some of the office holders, and I think it was uncomfortable. I think, that I was uncomfortable for the Hubbards and for the station.
Well, let's
but I had a wonderful time doing it. And I would do some things differently. You know, it's nice to say at 75 that some of the things I said at 50 might have been a titch outrageous.
But that it sure brought an audience in.
I had a good time.
In 1990, when you started at 1500, this was kind of the dawn of conservative broadcasting because this was the era of Rush Limbaugh really had kind of taken off, and then
yes.
Every station in town wanted to try to, well, at least a lot of markets wanted to try to emulate that model of fire-breathing conservative and then bring on a host of others that could parrot that. And you had kind of a little bit different take than the normal hosts on your station.
Well, I was raised to be a moderate Republican, and the conservative movement left me. I mean, when I was on the city council, and at the end there were only two Republicans left, and I had to be kind of the spokesperson for the other side, and so I was a Republican. I was fiscally conservative, and at the time I was on the council, there was tons of money coming from the federal government. I mean, the Democrats on the council could not think of enough ways to spend money. So they truly were the glory days of bringing home the bacon.
Were you the last Republican on the city council? I don't think that.
No. Well, the last. Well, yes. I think Danny Shulstead and I left at the same time. I lost, and he retired.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's hard to think actually of Minneapolis having Republicans on the city council. Just the fact that the composition has changed.
One of the people that is running for mayor was on the city council in 1965. Dan Cohen.
That's right. And you, so you did your show at KSTP 1500, and I was going through some photos that I had, and I wanted to just kind of tease you, tweak you. I have a photo that you did the broadcast from the state fair from not a radio studio, but from the hot tub.
I did. I did it for a number of years, and it was exhausting, trust me, to spend 2 hours a day in hot water, which I spent a lot of time in, was pretty tiring, but it was fun to do, and I had interesting people, and people would climb in. I know Rudy Boschwitz climbed in.
I didn't remember Rudy Boschwitz climbed in. I can't kind of picture that.
I had a lot of people that were very brave to get into the hot tub, of which I am very, very grateful. But those days are over. Let's talk about what's going on now. Let's talk about the Pope. For example, coming out with a declaration of saying that the church is spending much too much time on gay marriage and abortion, and they should be broadening their appeal to the poor and immigration. I mean, I was delighted to read that in the morning paper, and I think it's going to bring a lot of people back to the church.
Are you part of the church? Are you part of the organization?
I was raised a Catholic, but I, like so many other people, said after I grew up and was able to use my own mind and make decisions for myself, said the church is too narrow for me.
Do you find yourself, like this topic and other, do you find yourself looking for an audience? Do you miss the radio? Do you miss being able to be here and be able to tell people these things?
Certainly I do. I mean, it is fun to share your opinions on a variety of issues. It is great fun to have an opinion and to really have a dialogue, to be able to talk to the listening audience. And since KSDP was conservative in its approach, I had a lot of listeners that disagreed with me.
But that makes for fun radio.
It does. I mean, I am never going to be too old for a good debate or a good fight or discussion or disagreement.
You know, there are some hosts on your station that have now moved on to other stations, and they're on maybe more comfortable formats. And one of the unfortunate parts about those formats is they don't get the diverse audience that KSDP had, where they get the calls that the screener had to take on, and they're all upset, and they have all that rage, and they call to tell you how wrong you are. It's not as much fun to listen to, preaching to the choir, preaching to the same crowd, because it doesn't make any interesting radio.
No, I think I think radio's changed, and I think it's sad, because I think it was great fun to listen to. But the things, you know, radio changes, and then it changes with what's going on. MSNBC, which is, I think, a great cable show, is not as interesting to me now that the election is over. I mean, I was drawn to Rachel every time she spoke on Obama. And now I find it pretty dry and boring.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's...
And, I tend to watch CNN more than anything else, just to get that pretty down-to-earth reporting. So I miss the excitement of radio. I miss the challenges. I miss the outrageousness. And really, when KSDP fired me, I thought that I would be back on the radio, that somebody else would want me, and I was very surprised that they didn't.
Have you done some inquiries? Is there still some?
Well, I've made inquiries. Sure, I have. But I think that I just am. I'm pretty outrageous, and I'm pretty hard to control. Talk to my two husbands, they can tell you.
One being the former governor?
Yes. And it was very difficult for him when I was on the radio, and I really took some cheap shots at him, some of which I'm very sorry for.
Well,
and it was a painful time for my children.
Well, and our guest today, Barbara Carlson. I'm going to stay off too many hot topics of the Arnie years, but I do want to ask a question. When you're in radio and you're doing this radio show, do you find yourself playing a part when you sit down and do on the mic? Was everything coming from the microphone truly genuine? Or
yes. For me, it is, because I don't know how to play a role. Mm-hmm. I've never been. I don't have what. And this has been very painful, and I have lost good friendships because of this. I don't have, it doesn't seem like I have boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
And boundaries say you don't say certain things about people that you care about and about friends and about spouses, and I overstep those boundaries.
It's people do get divorced, and most divorcees don't have their former spouse on a radio station 2 hours a day poking at their job, which is, I think, is, yeah, you have to give a little credit to Arnie. He did take it in stride most of the time.
Well, he did. At one time, a friend of mine was working in his office, and in the morning, they would cut out everything in the paper, everything that I'd said or done, or any reference to me, they would cut out. And I think he came in and finally said, "Will you stop it? After all, I was married to this woman. I know how difficult she can be. So just." stop trying to protect me.
And just in case anyone does not understand what we're talking about, our guest today, Barbara Carlson, was married to our former governor, Arne Carlson, for 12 years. And, you know, Barbara.
A fabulous governor. I think, without question, the best governor that we have had in recent times. I mean, I can't think of anyone who is smarter and got us through difficult times better than Arne.
Well, you know, Barbara, I'm actually a little bit surprised you say that, because as a fan of your show the first time around, your endorsement wasn't quite as ringing as it is right now.
Well, I don't know what it was, but I have always, I've always supported him.
Do you still see Arne? Do you still talk to him?
No, well, I see him at family gatherings. Mm. We have two wonderful children in common, and our son Tucker is going to get married. He's going to be married again to a fabulous woman over Thanksgiving. And Arne and Susan and I will all be at Tucker and Julie's wedding. And that's how it should be. I believe that if you are divorced from someone, if you have children, you still have a connection. And he has a wonderful wife, an absolutely sterling wife. Susan is perfect for him and is very nice, and I like her, and she's been great to my kids.
Well, congratulations on the upcoming wedding. And I know you want to talk about the future, but I do have to ask a couple more questions of the past, and then I'll move on. Now, Arne never joined you in the hot tub, did he, for an interview when you had Arne on a couple times?
Are you kidding me? Of course not. trust me, I never asked him.
Well, and the second question is, now, how did you convince the owners of KSDP to be able to, you know, install this radio equipment in the hot tub? We have two production gentlemen here in the next room here, and we're trying to figure out how we can get the hot tub studio going here at KLEB.
That's not even an exaggeration.
Well,
yes, we are.
I can't tell you. Actually, I put the hot tub in before we decided to do a hot tub show. So I own the hot tub. It was in my backyard, and I can't tell you exactly how we arrived at the point that I was going to do a show, but I did, and it worked, and we had a good time.
I'm just trying to think of the conversation. Hey, we're going to do the show from the hot tub from now on, and we're going to put some radio equipment.
No, what we did is we did it on Fridays, and figure out a day you want to do it, and people will say, well, it's been done before, but...
Did you find that guests were more willing to open up about their lives in a hot tub with you versus they're in the studio?
A lot of them were uncomfortable.
Well,
and a lot of them wouldn't get into the hot tub, and people would sit on the side of the hot tub, but enough people would get in that it was fun, and I had some wacko people in the hot tub, too. I mean, just...
Well, as long as you chlorinated afterward, right?
Well, I mean, I remember Sharon Anderson. She was a constant candidate for political office.
Not the good company, Sharon Anderson, but
this was the wacko that lived
yes,
on Summit Avenue, Sharon Anderson, who ran for everything. And she got in one time, and I remember she had very teased backcombed hair. I mean, it stood up a foot. And so, and this, I wasn't being very nice. And
you had her, because I remember that she won the endorsement.
No, I had. She was in the hot tub. So she's in the hot tub, and I looked at her, and I said, Jaron, tell me how you achieve your hairdo. And she looked at me, and she said, I achieve it with coffee grounds. So evidently, her bouffant hairdo was over coffee grounds. So I could get people to, you know, tell the things that they wouldn't necessarily. I'm good at getting information.
Yeah, and just to our audience, the Sharon Anderson, again, not the good company Sharon Anderson, but she found her way as the Republican endorsed candidate for Attorney General. I think 1994. I think that
I can't. It doesn't make any difference. I don't know well, when she did, but she is an exceptionally unusual woman. And it was, you see, I think it's fun to see the other side of people, too. Not just their public persona, but I'd like to get into a deeper side.
I think this is a good case for a new show. You were going to do a TV show at one point, weren't you?
Yes. I was going to do a national TV show. I was under contract with Fox, they came here and filmed at the KSTP studios, and I hated it more than I can even speak about. Because on TV, you know, you have to do it over and over and over again, and I hated it, and they had me reading a teleprompter, and I'm nearsighted, and I was squinting, and they brought me in on a horse about 20 times. The only funny thing about the whole 2 days was that the horse pooped on the KSDP stage, and I was quite taken with that. Other than that, it was a disaster, and I just said, I am not good at this.
Stick with radio, right?
Well, I'm not good. I hate to say this, but I'm not very good at being told what to do.
You're your own producer and director, correct? So Peter Thiel never was very very successful at telling you what to do.
No, he wasn't, but he was a great guy.
No, he was a good guy.
Yeah.
I find this entertaining, and I was reading an article actually here for the interview today that you gave up radio the first time. You were just bored by it the first time. You decided to end it.
And then they asked me to come back to do the morning drive, and I came back, and that's a tough slot because I don't think that you can beat the opposition. I don't think that, I don't know of any show that could beat, what is his name? What is the star of Morning Drive?
Oh, Tom Bernard?
Yeah.
No, it's...
And I hated Morning Drive. I mean, can you imagine getting up? You know, you're up at 3 o'clock in the morning. I just admire people who do it, and I can't imagine doing Morning Drive TV.
Are you a morning person?
No, I am not a morning person. I am not a morning person at all. And so sometimes you'd have to be home and in bed at 6 and, try and go to sleep. And I can remember people mowing lawns next door and saying, you know, I have to sleep.
So what?
No, it wasn't. I didn't like morning. I liked the guys. I worked with.
Ron Rosenbaum.
Ron Rosenbaum is possibly the smartest, best guy in radio, and I know. I don't think he's. Is he with Charter anymore?
He's not on the radio on a regular show any longer. He does some bit things for KFAN occasionally.
Yeah, I just think he's dynamite. I always wanted to do a show with him, and we talked to KSDP about possibly doing a show together, both a radio show and a TV show. I mean, I can remember that we went and talked to 45 because he's smart and he's fun, and he's fun to work with, and he's just. I mean, I can work well with him because he tempers me.
We all need balance, right?
Well, yeah, there's got to be somebody that can just take that edge off. Peter was too young to do it. He would try and do it, but he was never successful because I just wanted to stomp on his little feet sometimes because he was so conservative.
Well, do you ever regret? We have some fresh faces here in the studio today that are on our production team now. Do you ever regret ever any of the moments you've had with your producers over the years? Do you ever look back at it like, I may not have wanted to do that?
Well, you always do. I mean, from a later perspective,
it's easier.
In hindsight,
yes.
You're always sorry that you may have taken some of the cracks or maybe said some of the things. I mean, am I embarrassed by any of the things that I have said on the air? I'm not really embarrassed, but I'm ashamed. I mean, I took some shots at people that I'm sorry I did.
Mm-hmm.
I talked about two husbands much more than I ever should have. And I said things about friends that and told a couple of stories that I can't take back.
But is it part of the moment, like you're in the moment and you can't, and you kind of go with it and you think it's a good idea at the time and then like, oh, that wasn't good.
No, I don't, you're asking me traditional questions. You're asking me, don't ask me stuff like that. Because I go by my gut. I go when I think it's right. I do things spur of the moment. I just told you I don't take direction well, so it's difficult. I could not do a TV show that required time after time after time, you know, like a sitcom. Mm-hmm. And I just, I didn't take direction well enough for TV. And I suppose I could take direction better now, because I'm tired.
I don't have
as much strength and as much defiance at 75 that I had at 50. But people still know who I am. You know, I go out and they still say they loved listening to the show and they had a good time. And, you know, I thought what I should do is a show, an outrageous show. And I talked to KSDP about it, and they didn't want to do it. But I think that there's a place for a show talking about, you know, the excitement about getting older. Because look at the age that we're... I have friends in their 70s that are still working.
Well,
I mean, that was unheard of in my parents' stage. I have friends that are running marathons.
And why do you think that is?
Age. I mean, you know, that are great and tremendous athletes. I have a friend that had a hip replacement at 80 because she wanted to continue to play tennis. You know, it's just...
Are we healthier now, or why is it changing, do you think?
Well, I think it's we're living longer, and we're having a better time doing it, and we're not saying we're old and we're crippled, and people are having hip replacements, knee replacements, ankle replacements. I mean, you know it. And it's a wonder that anybody past 75 can get through an airport screening. We are taking better care of ourselves. We're eating better. We're having fun. I have learned that, well, it's been within the last, I guess, 6 years, but I play a lot of Mahjong,
mm-hmm.
which is a game that started in China, I don't know, centuries ago, probably. But as long as I can play Mahjong, I keep saying to myself, and thinking ahead and planning and doing something, then I'm not completely losing my mind.
Never.
In other words, I'm still a functioning adult. I forget names. I forget addresses. I completely forgot about this interview with you. I was on my way out the door. I didn't look at the calendar. I was on my way out the door. I was going to go and see a matinee movie with friends, and you caught me just in time, or you would have had I don't know how many minutes of dead airtime.
Well, this is much more fascinating than what we had our plan B. If our guest doesn't show up, then we would have just been talking about nothing, probably.
But there's so much. You see, that's what I miss. There's so much going on. From the Pope to the Southwest Corridor, you know, light rail transit. Are they going to buckle to the people in St. Louis Park or the wealthier people in Kenwood? I mean, you know, there are things and the way decisions are made that it's extraordinary. Now they're going to go back and redo the Nicollet Mall.
That's right.
And they're probably going to go back and do it the way it was originally.
Well,
and 20 years ago, I served on that committee with the Nicollet Mall Committee, and I was, I can barely talk about it. I was out at the Kennedy School at Harvard, and I flew back because there was a meeting, an implementation meeting, and Bobby Dayton and Steve Watson, who was then president of Dayton's, screwed it up and got everybody to go along with them, and that is why it's the dreadful place that it is now to go and buy merchandise. I mean, it's dead.
Well, I think
it is dead.
There's
LSGI. I mean, you see, I just get started on this stuff, and I go crazy nuts about it. But I remember the Nicollet Mall when it was a vibrant, exciting shopping destination.
Well, the retailers have all dried up. The way people live now downtown, it's tough. I mean, people are not shopping at Dayton's anymore. People aren't shopping at
stores. They're not. The downtown Target, when you have as many office people as you do, I think Macy's still does okay downtown, and I think that Target has brought people because of the people that live there. And Tom Hoke, let me tell you, Tom Hoke has single-handedly fixed Hennepin Avenue. He and his partner took over for the city, renovating the theaters, the Orpheum, the State, and the Pantages, and now they have another New Century Theater. And honest to heavens, It used to be a disaster, Hennepin Avenue.
What's your take on Blocky? Blocky's been a very controversial topic.
Oh, I think I was on the council of Blocky. I can remember when Don Fraser's assistant said, you know what Blocky should be? Jan Hively was her name, and she was very, she said it should be a park.
Interesting.
It really should be a park, and think of what grows around a park. And it's been a hideous, you know, is it the, you know, is it the fault of the developers? Is it the fault of the city putting money into it? You know, there's really no one to blame when you have an idea and you get assistance from a public body to try and create something. And that's what they tried to do, is to create something. And what they created with Block E and City Center are two disasters.
Were you a proponent of leveling Block E in the 80s?
Oh, I can't. You know what? I can't remember. Not only can I not remember that I was supposed to talk to you, but I can't remember what position I took on Block E. I probably was not as, because of the financial component, I would not have been as supportive as the Democrats at that time were.
Well, I'm going to ask you, one controversial topic that's of contemporary, because you want like future, and I appreciate that. The Viking Stadium. What would you have done on the city council? It was it's controversial. It's still controversial. It's still continuing to be debated.
I would have. What would I have done with the old Barber? Probably would have voted no because of the money and to take an opposite side. I would today have supported it. And the reason I would have supported it is because I think it's part of the vibrancy of a city. I hate putting public dollars into very wealthy men's pockets, but that's what other cities do. And if we hadn't kept the Vikings, they would have gone somewhere else.
And you believe downtown Minneapolis was the place for the stadium?
And I think that, you know, the things that the city has done, some of the things have been very, very good. And look at the increased living that's going on downtown. Look at the renovation on the river. Look at the Guthrie downtown. Look at the other side of the river. Housing Winslow House was built years and years and years and years ago. It was part of the riverside development on the other side of the river. And, you know, it was a failure for a long time. Now, it's a great, fabulous place to live. So sometimes it takes longer, and today I would have supported the Viking Stadium. I wouldn't have supported the design, however. I think birds are going to fly into it and die. The plaza is going to be filled with lots of dead birds in that glass, and I hate that Viking charging.
Well, I hope that the Vikings have a crew of cleaners and bird cleaners out there all times.
Yeah, I can't imagine what it's going to be like. So, I love Minneapolis. I love the vibrancy. I love the urban excitement of Minneapolis. I live in the diamond now, and trust me, it's the most boring place you will ever live in your life.
I got a lot of questions. What is Barbara up to right now? So, what is a typical day for us? You're going to the movies today. What's a typical day for Barbara Carlson?
I read. I am getting involved in another field of volunteerism. I used to do grief therapy many, many years ago at St. Mary's Hospital when I went through treatment, and I'm going to start doing that again. I've done a lot of work in the field of chemical dependency, and I have tenants that live in. I have children. I have grandchildren, and I'm never bored. I am never, ever bored. So I had a kidney transplant a couple years ago, and that slowed me down a tiny bit. I just, I'm up for anything.
How do you feel?
I just don't walk around the block very well.
do you feel good right now?
Yeah, I feel fine. I feel, I've had a little pneumonia, but hey, who doesn't have a little pneumonia? Listen, I'm in damn good shape for 75. I look good. You know, I've never been a great beauty. I've never been, you know, anorexic, so I could lose a few pounds. What I really should be doing is out public speaking on the excitement of being elderly and sweat, but I just...
But elderly today is
getting things set up has never been my strong suit.
According to an article, in 1997, when you quit radio, and I know you don't like these, but when you quit radio the first time, you said you want to live to 95. Is that that's still the plan?
Now I'm 75, so that'll be 20 years. 20 years, as long as I'm in good health. Now, mm-hmm. if I lose my mind...
We'll have you on the show again.
If I am not clear, concise in here, don't ever give me an antibiotic. Don't ever do anything. Let me go. I don't ever want to be in a memory care facility, ever, ever, ever. I don't want to drool. I do occasionally wear Depends, so I can't say I don't want to wear Depends. But, I just do not want to be a burden to my children or society. You know, what happens is that people go through their money and then, you know, the nursing homes can't kick them out and they're still there. And I have gone through almost all of my money. And so, hey, life's still okay.
Well, I think that
I'm a glass three-quarters full type of woman.
No, I like it. I think that your voice is still needed, and I actually do miss your voice. So it's been great having you on the show today because I loved your first show and your second show. I'm sorry you're not on radio now, but you still could be. I think there's a market for what you're saying, and I think that there's still some more Barbara Carlson to be heard still.
Well, I think CCO is too serious a station because I have talked to them, and I've talked to the liberal radio station, and they didn't want me. And I'm not a sports fan. I mean, if I knew anything about sports,
Babs picks maybe every night. Just make some sports picks. Just you wouldn't be any more inaccurate than anyone else. I think you.
There used to be a woman named Bronco, Bronco, who
was sure, Channel 4.
What?
Yeah, she's a Channel 4.
You remember? How old are you?
How old do you think I am?
I don't know.
I'm in my 30s.
How old are you?
I'm in my 30s.
Okay. So, but you remember all this stuff? Why would you want to remember this stuff? It used to be on Channel 4. Anyway, she was a blonde chick that was kind of sexy and cute, and she used to make predictions. It was on Channel 4. They would no longer more have somebody like that on the show today than they'd.
Well, maybe we can get you on Channel 4 to just walk out and make some predictions on the Twins game or the Vikings game. You could, I'm sure that the predictions are pretty accurate.
I think they're a little straight for me, but if they call me and they say, Barbara, we want you to do something, I'm always ready.
Maybe you and Ron Rosenbaum can team up.
Well, I wish Ron and I could do a show.
Well, we had Ron in here 2 weeks ago, and actually, maybe next time we'll have you and Ron both here in the studio tonight, and we'll do it that way.
I love Ron. Ron and I do very, very well together. And, you've got to find that people that work together are not always easy.
Mm-hmm.
I can work with him.
Any message for your fans out there?
I just want to say thank you. And continue to live well and enjoy life and continue to be as healthy as you can. And when it's time to check out, do it fast.
And if you're in Dino, stop by Barbara's because it's very boring there and she wants some excitement in her life.
I don't want to be bored. Who in the hell wants to be bored?
No one here. That's why we had you on today. We wanted
yay
to be excited today.
Yay for the Pope. I'm also saying yay for the Pope.
Yay for the Pope and yay for Barbara Carlson, our guest today. Thank you, Barbara. I appreciate your time today. Go to a movie, and I'm sorry I took you away from your friends today.
That's okay. Bye-bye.
Barbara Carlson on Flashback Twin Cities. We'll be back next Saturday with Marsha Flohr of KSDP-TV and WCCO-TV. Until next week, gentlemen, are we ready to go? Next week, Flashback Twin Cities on KLBB Club 1220.